Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working from home on this pre-recorded program via remote from Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, January 22, 2021. Some South Sudanese affected by landmines speak about their experiences.
When she saw that they gathered together and then tried to chase the young ones away and then say, okay, leave us alone. At the end, when the rest tried to turn their back away from them, they tried to throw that one between them. So that is how the incident happened.
And the Middle East looks to the Biden administration for improved relations.
I would expect some steps in that direction. Now, whether the new president, the 46th president of the United States, Joe Biden, will have the peace of mind and the stability, considering the domestic agenda, that very demanding domestic agenda he's facing.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The United Nations Mine Action Service in South Sudan says following years of clearing an exploded ordnance in the country, many South Sudanese who have been displaced from their ancestral lands littered with various types of explosives during the more than 20 years of conflict with Khartoum are now able to return home. A senior official with the United Nations Mine Action Service says while a huge chunk of land has been cleared and some residents can go back to farming, the task of getting rid of an exploded ordnance in South Sudan remains a challenge. For VOA News, Wake Simon Wudu reports from Juba.
Confirm area clear for them detonation.
United Nations Mine Action Service workers detonate an exploded ordnance at Amei, a village located 135 kilometers southeast of Juba.
Fire!
En masse workers say even after clearing many landmines and an exploded ordnance, several littered remnants of explosives continue to pose danger to ordinary civilians. Okolo Joseph, a resident of Lokiliri Payam of Juba County in central Equatoria State, says his six-year-old son, James Wani, was hit by a landmine in April last year while playing with other children.
His colleagues got that object, doesn't know what is the use of that object. And then when she tried to collect also some of the colleagues, the kids, when she saw that they gathered together and then tried to chase the young ones away and then say, okay, leave us alone. At the end, when the rest tried to turn their back away from them, tried to throw that one between them. So that is how the incident happened.
Joseph says Wani still feels severe pain in the leg injured by the landmine and cannot do much for himself without assistance.
So for him to move without his feet is a problem. I'm sure this guy could not be able to do anything for himself because limb is important for him to stand, maybe digging, and then maybe moving to collect something. At least that limb is to accompany you where you are going. So, but if I can see, his life is not really normalized either.
Lokiliri resident Mario Ladu says his 13-year-old son Michael Ladule was struck by an unexploded ordnance in August last year. Ladu says Michael and other children were playing with an unidentified object they found on the ground when it suddenly exploded. Ladu says Michael was badly injured in his head.
His situation is not very bad. He is no longer normal as he used to be because the injury in the head has gone very bad with him. He stays, but his life is no longer active like he used to be. The wound in the head appears like it has cured, but when you watch it closely, you can realize that he still has problem.
En masse officials say among the many unexploded ordnance that have been located, removed and detonated are Russian-made cluster munitions. They were dropped in thousands across parts of South Sudan during the 21-year civil war between the SPLMA and the Khartoum government. UNMAS officials say years of clearing an exploded ordnance have made it possible for thousands of South Sudanese families to return home and farm the land again. 35-year-old Charles Tombe, who fled Amei village during the SPLM-A Khartoum conflict, returned home in 2011, has been farming ever since.
The places they have cleared help us. They give us freedom to use whether walking and working in them. It helps us a lot. And places they have marked as dangerous help and prevent us from encroaching them, because we already know they are dangerous.
Mike Rasit Fuller is a senior official with the South Sudan Mine Action Authority.
The biggest challenge will be the explosive remnants of war, like the UXOs, Lenin said, an exploded ordnance, which are all over in the battlefields and in the confrontation areas.
UNMAS official Richard Bolter says recent conflicts between the government and armed groups in South Sudan have slowed efforts to demine the entire country.
But while insecurity reigns, then banditry will remain prevalent. And it makes it very hard to send a team out with several vehicles, some high-priced kits, some food and some money and some fuel. They become a very attractive target for robbers.
UNMAS says a total of 1,404 people across South Sudan have been killed by various unexploded ammunitions, and more than 3,700 others have been injured by the devices since 2004. For VOA News, I'm Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
Still on UN matters, the UN Human Rights Office expresses alarm over increasing intercommunal violence in Sudan's Darfur region. Over the past week, it reports deadly incidents of two separate intercommunal violence have killed more than 200 people and injured hundreds more. The agency is calling on the transitional government in Sudan to urgently scale up protective measures in the region. For VOA News, Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
Clashes erupted between armed men of the Masalit and Arab communities last weekend in a camp for internally displaced people in West Darfur. The violence reportedly left 160 people dead and 215 injured. In a separate incident in South Darfur Monday, fighting between armed men from the Falata and Reziga tribes reportedly killed 72 people and injured 73 others. In both cases, UN Human Rights spokeswoman Ravina Shamdasani says intercommunal violence was triggered by the killing of a member of one of the rival communities.
What is very worrying is, given the lack of security in these areas and given the lack of accountability for crimes and human rights violations, people are feeling emboldened to take the law into their own hands. And a single incident can really very easily spark intercommunal conflict that can lead to many people being killed and displaced.
The UN Human Rights Office is calling on the government of Sudan to promptly ensure the full implementation of its national plan for the protection of civilians in Darfur. Shamdasani notes the government said it would deploy a joint force composed of 12,000 security officers to the region. She adds that has not happened.
These incidents raise serious concerns about the imminent risk of further violence in Darfur, in an environment where decades-old ethnic and tribal tensions that were further stoked by the previous regime continue to fester. There are severe gaps in protection by state authorities, as well as a lack of accountability for violations.
The UN agency is urging Sudanese authorities to carry out a thorough investigation into the deadly incidents and to ensure individual perpetrators are brought to justice. Accountability for crimes, it says, is crucial in breaking the cycle of armed citizens taking the law into their own hands to avenge attacks on members of their communities. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
While the U.S. president faces daunting domestic challenges, Joe Biden also has promised to make democracy and human rights a core aspect of his foreign policy. VOA senior analyst Mohammad Al-Ashanawi spoke to Khalil Jassan, president of the Arab Center in Washington, on how that could affect U.S. relations with Arab countries that have authoritarian governments or poor human rights record.
I would expect some steps in that direction. Now, whether the new president, the 46th president of the United States, Joe Biden, will have the peace of mind and the stability, considering the domestic agenda, that very demanding domestic agenda he's facing with the continuing threat by the COVID-19 pandemic and the damage it has done to the American economy, which will keep any administration busy for at least the first year in its term, just focusing on that to put an end to that crisis. Whether it would have that peace of mind to begin to deal with a highly demanding issue like the Palestine issue remains to be seen. I do expect some steps soon within the administration, because frankly, even though some in the administration and beyond in Washington here keep talking about Washington or Americans somewhat tired of the Middle East, that there is an element of Middle East fatigue in Washington. Frankly, the Middle East is not tired of Washington. So it's not going to be easy to, you know, come up with a divorce between the two, considering the centrality of the region to a U.S. interest, particularly, of course, Israel, because Palestine involves Israel. So I would say that some renewal of relationship is expected. I wouldn't be surprised if the Palestinian mission in Washington is reopened. I wouldn't be surprised if the administration would reopen some sort of diplomatic mission, a consulate or what have you, in the area of Jerusalem to replace the one that was closed a couple of years back. I would say that issues pertaining to settlements, issues pertaining to diplomacy, issues pertaining to the two-state solution, we might see a gradual reinstitution of these issues as part and parcel of U.S. policy toward the Arab-Israeli conflict.
Could some Arab countries witness a departure from President Trump's policies toward them under Biden administration, and to what direction?
I think so. I think they all would, frankly speaking. I mean, we have so many different problematic components of U.S. policy in the region, be it Syria, be it Iraq, be it Yemen, be it Libya. All these countries are going to see the results of a tweaked U.S. policy, to put it in colloquial terms. In other words, there will be some reassessment and there will be some changes made in these policies based on the fact that these festering issues have been ignored seriously. The U.S. has not been engaged in diplomatic efforts in a serious manner, and it has abdicated, if you will, its leadership role in doing so, which has affected not only its relationships in the region, but even beyond, like neighboring regions like Europe. It has affected our relationship with NATO and so on. So I would say these countries that I mentioned, plus definitely, I think, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, and other countries in the Gulf and so on, these, based on recent developments, should expect some change in the Biden administration's approach to the bilateral relationships.
That's Khalil Jassan, president of the Arab Center in Washington. He was speaking with VOA's senior analyst Mohammad Al-Ashanawi. You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, the United States rejoins the World Health Organization. Find out why after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what kinds of infrastructure improvements are the biggest priority in your community?
I would like my roads to be improved because they are not comfortable with the roads.
I think it is hospital. It's hospital because I'm seeing people suffering with their kids. Even mothers, they are suffering when they are pregnant.
Park where children can play and where adults can also meet to hang out will be a big improvement.
for the government to do the streets so that when people are driving, their cars cannot be bumping and all over. And the gutters as well. The gutters are full of rubbish and then it's choke as well. If they can clear the dirty things out, it will be perfect.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Dr. Anthony Fauci, U.S. Chief Medical Officer, addressed the World Health Organization Executive Board, confirming the Biden administration's intention to remain a member of the World Health Organization to support global health and become part of the COVAX facility, which aims to provide COVID-19 vaccine to poor countries. For VOA News, Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
In a speech to the WHO's executive board meeting Thursday, Fauci sought to reassure the organization the difficulties it experienced under the Trump administration were over. Fauci heaped praise on the WHO for its role in leading the global public health response to the pandemic in relentlessly working with nations in their fight against the coronavirus. He said President Joe Biden had sent letters retracting the previous administration's withdrawal from WHO to the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres and to WHO Chief Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus. Fauci described Tedros as my dear friend. Former President Donald Trump had accused Tedros of kowtowing to China, blaming him for letting the coronavirus situation spin out of control. Trump subsequently froze U.S. funding to the organization and announced the U.S. would withdraw from the WHO in July. Fauci said the United States intended to meet its financial obligations to WHO. He said the Biden administration would work constructively to strengthen and reform the WHO and to help strengthen the international response to the virus that causes the COVID-19 disease.
President Biden will issue a directive later today, which will include the intent of the United States to join COVAX and support the ACT Accelerator to advance multilateral efforts for COVID-19 vaccine, therapeutic and diagnostic distribution, equitable access, and research and development.
COVAX is a global vaccine alliance designed to speed development and ensure distribution of viable vaccines and treatments for the respiratory ailment. ACT Accelerator, short for or Access to COVID-19 Tools Accelerator, is part of that effort. Fauci noted it will not be easy to respond to COVID-19, rebuild and strengthen global health around the world. He added, however, this had to be done as societies were being devastated by the worsening pandemic. He noted the world had surpassed 90 million coronavirus infections and that the numbers were growing.
We are committed to transparency, including those events surrounding the early days of the pandemic. It is imperative that we learn and build upon important lessons about how future pandemic events can be averted.
WHO Chief Tedros welcomed the renewed engagement of the U.S. in the agency and its commitment to join COVAX. Tedros noted the vital role played by the U.S. in global health since WHO was founded in 1948 and said it was crucial that this partnership continue. Tedros added WHO was a family of nations and he was glad the United States was staying put. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Modou. The World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
It's now time for us to read some of your interesting comments we received this week on our WhatsApp number. Over to you, Nabil.
Thanks, John. Our first fan says, hello, VOA. I'm Rickson Wan Kwang from Cairo, Egypt. Thanks for the daily podcast you provide us. I feel like I'm in the country when I listen to your news. My message to all South Sudanese citizens is please let us love one another to build our country. And let us give peace a chance in our hearts like the rest of other nations. We are tired of the bloodshed. This is the time for us to rise up and look for a good education. Gatiek, which are also in Cairo, Egypt, writes, hello, VOA. Thanks, John Tanza, for feeding us daily with news. I would like to congratulate President Joseph R. Biden Jr. and Vice President Kamala Harris. The world is hopeful that their leadership will make a difference despite global challenges imposed by this pandemic. We hope that the new administration will not focus too much only on American domestic politics, but also on geopolitical dimensions around the world. My concern as a South Sudanese citizen whose country has been going through a political tsunami for 8 years now is that I wish to see the reluctant partners in the revitalized peace agreement get pressured by the new American administration. Our civil populations are so tired of war. Another fan writes, hello VOA, I'm Madol Chot Potkor Bol from Lake State Barpaken. I just want to give you words of appreciation for your good news with your reporters. Pass my regards to Monkey Edwin Kinzeka from Cameroon. I like to hear his voice every day. Ajak Kwal Reng, who says he's an upcoming journalist from Bo, writes, thanks John Tanza and your team for the good news you usually give us. I have been a VOA fan since 2015 and your news is really interesting. I am also requesting South Sudanese to be serious about the COVID-19 pandemic and take measures about it. The government has stopped public gatherings, but restaurants, hotels and bars are operating. Are these not part of public gatherings? Ajak wonders. This fan writes, hello Voice of America. This is Sam Watsons, a South Sudanese refugee in Uganda. We are electing a new leader and we see progress in Museveni's leadership. We are all happy to see him win. He is a friend to all refugees. He allows freedom of movement for refugees. You can live in nearby towns and do your business. If people need change in Uganda, it should come from President Museveni's party. Peter Gojanyang in Dukpaiwel, Duk County writes, disarming the youth is the best solution to Jongole's cycle of intercommunal fighting, which has claimed lives, abducted children and women, and displaced tens of thousands since South Sudan gained independence 9 years ago. Loro in Juba writes, hello John Tanza, happy new year to you. I'm not happy with what happened in the Ugandan election. The social media was shut down during Uganda's presidential election, and it made it difficult for independent monitors and journalists to report on violence and any other issues that hindered the freedom of choice during the election. A listener who refers to himself as Uncle Jay from Nimuli Town writes, I'm very sorry to hear from the senior Catholic leader that the dividend of the revitalized peace agreement is not yet seen in Yay. And the worst news was the killing of 7 people by the unknown gunman. When shall we get to know the unknown gunman? He asks. And finally, Lawens from Yay Town decided to record his message for us to air. Here's what he has to say.
Yes, thank you, the Voice of America and Focus on South Sudan for this initiative of the text and comment on your platform. First of all, I take this opportunity as well to credit ZEPCO for organizing the conference in seeking to restore a lasting peace with the Mundari communities and the neighboring communities to the Mundari on the issue of the cattle raiding. This is becoming so rampant in South Sudan. You almost see that every day a lot of cattle raids do happen, and sometimes I would be asking myself why. The government should seek to talk to the communities more so the pastoral communities, to make sure that the issue of moving from one cattle camp to another or from one community to another has to be addressed in a way that at least a pastoralist community should at least be inclined into working within its territory to avoid invading other communities who might be farmers, you know.
Thanks, Nabil Biagio. We love to hear what you think about this show. Keep sending your brief comments to us about issues in our news or what is happening in your area. Our WhatsApp number is +1 202 630 8011. We will air your comments every Friday. That's our show for this Friday. As usual, we leave you in a dancing mood with the song Nani Ongere by Colonel Mido.
Monyo mi jinga yara e gonanie Monyo mi jinga yara e gonanie Anevuni aurwe Anevuni aurwe Anevune aurwe Anevune aurwe Nani olotir nani olongere mama Nani olotir nani olongere mama Nani olotir nani olongere Nani olotir nani olongere Nani olotir
ayamani baluta orwe naisu
Nani olongere
ayamani baluta orwe naisu
Nani onyohoribong
ayamani baluta orwe naisu
Nani olotir nani olongere mama Nani olotir nani olongere mama Nani olotir nani olongere Nani olotir Nani olongere
Ayamani baluta orwe naisutwe Ayamani baluta orwe naisutwe Ayamani baluta orwe naisutwe Ayamani baluta orwe naisutwe
Bwa ikijubwa okoribo Kanga bwayo iromo e Bwai kijubwa okoribong Bwai kanga bwayo iromo e Evrada nani tene Evwa Evrada nani tene Evwa Andulu nye senta Akana, akana Igu moti, igu moi Nani onyo okoribong Nani olotir Nani olongere Ivana, Ivana Bwa ikijubwa okoribong Bwa ikanga bwayo iromo e Bwa ikijubwa okoribong Bwa ikanga bwayo iromo e Evrada nani tene, evwa Evrada nani tene, evwa
Ayamani baluta orwe naisutwe Ayamani baluta orwe naisutwe Ayamani baluta
We've been listening to Colonel Mido with the song Nani Ongere. I will always add to our Monyomiji listeners in Torit that VOA Ongere. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for being part of our evening. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you are in public places. do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there is no cure for coronavirus. Join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.